Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Super T Podcast Show. Let me quickly put the... Oh, Do Not Serve is already on. Look at that. Look at that. My efficiency levels are growing. So this is going to be another episode about Twin Flames, you know, because it is different. There are some general things and some general important things when it comes to Twin Flames. But then each actual Twin Flame union is different, right? Just different, like culture-wise, geographically. Like, we get the soul stuff. Like, we get that. Thank you, you metaphysicians who have dug deep and were able to articulate and share the most deepest part of this union. But I think the surface part is important too, because it's all connected, right? And so I can only speak from my personal experience, but I believe that others are probably experiencing something similar. So again, we have differences. We have cultural differences. We have economical differences. Those differences play a part. They may be surface things, but in the world that we share, this earth, this planet that we all cohabitate together, those differences make a difference, right? Maybe one day they won't, but as of now, they can make a very extreme difference. Because what if you are born into poverty and your twin flame is born into poverty? Or does that mean you stay there? Like, or what if you were born into poverty and your twin flame was born into wealth? How does that dynamic play? You know, so there's so many different dynamics. And yes, I believe knowing the soul important parts are important, but also the surface stuff is important too, because it blows my mind all the time. So again, I can only speak from my specific experience. I encourage all people who are aware that they and their twin flame are incarnated here at the same time, whether you are united, whether you are not united. I invite you to share about the surface thing so that other twin flames who are incarnated here, and it's a bunch of us, can feel like they're not going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, because you can feel like that. Of course, having a spiritual practice makes a big difference, because your spirituality is going to be what anchors you and brings clarity to everything that's going on. Nonetheless, sheesh, like, when they say you're always connected, they're not lying, but sometimes, and I can only speak from my own experience, not only are you always connected, but depending on where you are in your evolutionary process, like, some people have no awareness of esoteric things, esoteric science, metaphysics. Nobody. Some people have no recollection of that. They just met somebody and they feel this strong pull to them, and they may be curious about these subjects, but they don't really have like lifetimes of experience in these subjects, right? So, and then there's an age difference sometimes. Sometimes there's not. You know, again, those are surface things. What's the important thing is the soul, right? Because you're one soul. So, my twin flame, I'm glad I met him. I'm glad I know who the hell he is. I'm glad I know a bunch about him. Now, there are some surface things that I do want to know, you know, like favorite food, things he likes to watch on TV outside of football, you know, just taste that he's developed in this lifetime, you know. I do know a lot, though, already. And it's, you know, it's because we're one soul, right? And because when I, you know, I pay attention to him. So anyway, he has made a choice for our soul. And I didn't, you know, even though I recognized he was my twin flame, I thought I had a choice in this, you know, like, he made the decision, but hello, I can make my own decision. You know, I have free will. And it's like, no, you don't. You do, but you don't. Like, the decision has already been made for your soul. Now, I believe I played a part in a lot of liberty in that decision and in that process, and also opening up his eyes to realize, just because you made this decision for our soul doesn't mean that you don't have freedom. You still have freedom, right? And so that's what I communicate to him. And I know it's kind of, you know, tricky for him to really realize, but he's getting it, you know. And it's interesting because this decision that he has made was to align with a bunch of other amazing souls. The best way I could put it is like becoming part of an esoteric school, right? And almost like joining a church. Let me bring it down to there because I don't want to go too far up. And people are like, esoteric, what is that? Oh my God, that is Lucifer. I don't even know what Lucifer even means. But so I don't want to, fright is not the intention here, okay? Education is the intention here, right? So let's go to church. I'm going to take it down a notch. I ain't going to start in college. I'm going to start in elementary school. It's all elementary. Don't mind my random outputs because I just have a very humorous personality. And so I'm always laughing. And, you know, the only time I'm not is like when I'm really serious and focused, like maybe handling some business stuff. And even then, my humor will pop out in the middle of whatever. So anyway, I'm going to compare the level to elementary school. It's comfortable. We all been there, right? Most of us, right? It's the basics. So let's use religion. Let's pick anyone. Let's pick a large one, right? Let's use Catholic. Why not? One I'm not affiliated with. So think about the Catholic religion. Think about if you ever visited a Catholic church for whatever reasons, how big it is. Think about how vast that religion is. Like how many people are a part of that religion. All of those people, when they come into that religion, when they make a decision to join that religion, maybe I shouldn't talk about that one since I really don't know that much. Okay, let's cancel that one. Cancel that analogy, that example. You know I didn't pre-think this episode. It's just I got hit and I was like, this is some energetically hit, not physically hit, okay? And I was like, I gotta share this. I have to share this. I'm not about to hold this in. I'm not about to carry this shit all day. I have a safe space to share this shit on, right? So that's what I'm here doing. So I don't know how it's coming out. It's just coming out the way it comes out. I'm literally thinking as it's flowing. So just be patient, okay? So I'm canceling the analogy of Catholic religion because I don't know how you become a part of a Catholic religion. I'm going to go to a religion that I know something about, Jehovah's Witnesses. It's a bunch of them, right? A whole bunch of them, right? This is the religion that I was raised in. So I know the process of becoming a Jehovah's Witness, right? You go, you study with your sponsor, basically. I don't know what else you would call a person. Your sponsor comes and they study with you and you're like, they convince you, basically. It's sales. It's basically sales, right? Religion is sales. And that's how that religion operates. Even though it was a mystic who started it. So there is mysticism tied into it heavily. They just don't tell you that. They don't be like, you're joining a mystic order. No, they just give you a sales pitch. Once it sticks, they initiate you in, and then you're basically stuck until you graduate. That's it. That is the condensed version. But the details are, somebody comes into your home, or maybe you do it on Zoom now because we have this technology, and you have a book that you're studying out of, and you use that book along with their version of the Bible. Yeah, they retranslated the Bible, right? So you're there, you're studying the watered down version of the Bible. Like, how could you water it down anymore? It's already been watered down and left out. But anyway, those are my personal opinions, right? But they are also facts, right? Because we got the Book of Thomas, we got lots of books that have been excluded from the Bible by men who wanted to control population, right? Anyway, the Jehovah's Witness religion waters the Bible down even more, right? They rearrange words and all type of stuff, right? So anyway, they basically did what the first people did with the Bible when they found them in the original text, but they just did it another level. So I don't know, you know, it's just very, it's giving bondage to me. But again, it also, because mysticism is tied into it, even though they don't tell you that mysticism is tied into it, when you graduate, when you realize and you exercise your own willpower and you don't just do what they're telling you to do, you realize the bigger picture of it. And there is a bigger picture of it. But that's something that individuals have to realize on their own. So it's not really bondage. It's more like a safety net, you know? I think a safety net is different. But to somebody who is competent in certain matters, a safety net could look like bondage, right? But you never have to stay anywhere you don't want to stay, including religions. But let's get back to the point. The people that decide that they are going to be a part of this religion, even though they have the individual minds, they have basically taken a vow through their baptismal ritual. Let's call it what it is. Oh, you got baptized. Yes, you did a ritual. You did a public ritual. Why do you think that baptism is something that you have to do to be a part of the religion? It's a ritual that's initiating you into this sect, all right? Because it's Christianity, so it's a different sect of Christianity. And sect being S-E-C-T, right? Section. It's a section of Christianity, right? So anyway, when you do that, when you make that decision, not everybody's connected, right? And because, and then not only with the vow are you connected, you are connected through the energy. You have basically said, this is the energy that I'm going to be connected to, right? And the weird part about this religion, and any religion, in any group, that because this is not only applies to religions, right? This applies to any group. This applies to any nation. When there's two or more gathered together, God's going to be there. What's God? God is divinity. God is that divine force. So that force is going to marry these energies together. And I know it's a fact. And we're going to get back to how this ties into twin flames in a second. I know this is a fact because I was raised in that religion, because that was the energy that predominantly surrounded me from a baby up until I was 10 years old, which we know now that the development of a child is just wide open. They're energetically wide open. As soon as they come out, up until I believe it's 7, it might be lower than that. And then at 7, they started actually like thinking on their own and, you know, coming up with their own identity. But before then, they basically are taking on the identity and the information of what is around them, what is being poured into them. They don't ask no questions. It's like, oh, this is how it is. This is what it is. This is how it is. This is what it is. Because of those energetic ties, even though when they tried to get me to do their ritual and I refused to do their ritual, even though I did do a ritual for Christianity eventually, but it was a choice I made on my own, not something that somebody was like, you need to do this. You know, when I said, hold up, I'm 8 years old. You want me to dedicate my life to this? I ain't dedicate my life to this. I don't even know about this life yet in mine. You know, although, ironically, there were things that I did know that I wanted for my life, you know. Certain desires I had within me that was innate in me that never went anywhere, no matter what transpired or what experiences I had. Those desires stayed there. So I know those desires are divine. You know, they're something that is very important to my soul, you know. So wherever I go, I could spot them. We could spot each other because of the energetic tie. I have not severed because the big picture is that we're all energetically connected anyway. Whether we're conscious of it, whether we take a vow and acknowledge it and say it out loud and reinforce it, it's still because we're just what the, we're all one, basically. You know, we're all individual, unique examples of the divine one. Okay, so we're all one anyway. So let's see how that ties into twin flames. The difference is when you have these groups, you are like more solidifying certain connections with certain souls. Even though we're all still one, it's almost like taking a cell from your right leg and energetically connecting it to your left leg. It's like, it's different. Yeah, it's always already part of the same body, but now there is an additional cord tying you together, you know? And maybe that's the whole purpose of having these different things. On the surface, they look like they're separating people, but in actuality, they're just tying certain people together that's already connected anyway. So it's just more of an anchor to each other. And then once we realize through our evolutionary process that we are already one, then we can eliminate the things that were tying certain groups together, right? That just came out. That just came through me. But anyway, back to the twin flame. So, twin flame comes. My twin flame came here a whole decade before I got here. So, when I was being born, he was 10 years old already. Not an adult. Not like he had a whole bunch of experience, but already had a lot of programming. Because remember, we are most sensitive to our programming from baby, and I believe it's 7. It might be younger than 7. So I could be corrected, but I know from a baby, like whatever a baby is around, that's what they're taking in, and that is going deep into them. That's going into their subconscious, right? In their incarnation here on the planet in this lifetime, right? And so he decides, I don't know when he made this decision, I believe that his father is the one who kind of guided him into making this decision to join a group. I won't say this group is similar to Jehovah's Witnesses, but what I can say is that they operate with the same mysticism, but definitely on a higher level, right? And when I first consciously interacted with this, because I was always interacting with that particular group that he made a conscious decision to become a part of, I just was not aware of it, because that group is everywhere. They're in the Jehovah's Witness religion, they're in the Muslim religion, they're everywhere. They're in every religion that there is. These mystical people that practice mysticism within that particular group are also a part of other groups, right? So I didn't even know that I was interacting with these people. So, but when I consciously was aware that I was interacting with these people, it was a particular gentleman, and he painted the picture that he was there to serve the community. But really, he was there to dominate and to have control. That was what he wanted to do. And he just utilized his affiliation for those purposes. And I didn't know. I became aware after I decided I was going to volunteer, and after I was met with tragedy, and after people was coming back to me and telling me these crazy things that this man was saying out of his mouth towards about me. You have a young lady, I just have to digress a little bit and go into the situation. You have a young lady who is volunteering with you. You know a little bit of her history. You know that she done made it out of an abusive marriage. She got 2 young kids, and she's coming because she passionately cares about the community. And you got the audacity to be going and saying lies about her? Just straight up lies. Straight up lies. And he was full of it. He tried to put me on a board, tried to give me a position. Listen, I don't have an issue with titles, right? I'm going to stay true to me. So if you give me a position, I'm not just going to be like, oh, I got this title and I'm going to do whatever you said because you gave me this position. No. What does this position detail? If I don't know about it, or if I feel comfortable about taking this position, I may say no to it. Or if I don't know about it, I'm certainly going to educate myself independently on this position. So he put me on a board, right? Board of directors for grant writing, right? So now I need to study. I need to know how to write grants. I need to study with this details, right? So in the process of me independently studying this, he hands me this paperwork. It's 501c paperwork. Do you know this paperwork? This is in 2009. No, 2009. 2010 maybe. 2010. This is in 2010. Hands me this paperwork. What do you think I'm going to do with this paperwork? You think I'm just going to copy the names on there of the organization and then just put it in, like plug it in to the grant or write the grant around it? Before I do anything with it, I'm going to read it. And I'm not just going to read the name because you told me that you have a church and this name says the name of a church on it, and it just happens to be the same address of where your home is at. I need to dig deeper. I'm gonna read the whole document. I read the whole document. The document goes all the way to freaking 1995, and it ain't signed by him. It's signed by somebody else. I go and research the person it's signed by. That person is deceased. Why are you walking around saying that you have a church with the documents of somebody that did form a church, but this person is deceased? Why? What? I'm asking questions. What's going on here? Oh, we forgot to update it. You forgot to update it from 1995? This person passed away, I believe, in 1995. You forgot to, 10 years, you forgot to update the documents? No, something wrong. Something wrong. Let me start backing up. And my baby girl, she never felt his energy. And oh my God, if I would have known what I know then now, I would have gotten the hell away from him. And my baby girl probably would still be alive. Yeah, I'm gonna put that out there. That's how he was using his mysticism. Controlling manipulation. Because not only are you telling lies about somebody who is genuinely coming to work for the community for free because you see their light and you want to be a vampire, you want to control that so that you can add this to your controlling ways, because you think that that's the way to use your divine energy. Okay, I may not have known, and a lot of people around him may not have known, but as soon as I became aware, I got the heck away from him. And he thought I was weakened because he sent that negative energy to me, and unfortunately it affected the people that was closest to me and around me, and the weakest being my baby girl. Like, I already know, because there's no way in heck. Okay, I know the surface is the diabetes that was undiagnosed, right? But the deeper than the surface was that creepy ass mystic who did some horrible shit. And it came back, because here's the thing with the sacred sciences, whatever you do out there, and it doesn't matter how many people you trick or fool into giving you their energy or their power or any of that, whatever you put out there is going to come back. So you don't, even if somebody does ill will to you, you don't want to send ill will back to them. Okay, that may be a conversation for another episode, but I'm going to throw in a little bit here. There is a sacred energy called the Violet Flame. It is an energy, if you look into Saint Germain and the Violet Flame, you will find out more about that particular energy. This is an energy that transmutes. It transmutes negative energy instantly. That is your best weapon towards people sending ill will. Sending something that's going to transmute, sending even love. This is why they misconstrued Yeshua ben Joseph's words, where they're like, turn the other cheek. What he is saying is that you are responsible for the energy that you put out there. So no matter what another person puts towards you, you counter that by continuously putting out good energy, or using something that's going to neutralize that energy, which is the Violet Flame. So he's not saying you turn the next cheek and you just allow yourself to be abused. No, you protect yourself by putting out good, because you are not responsible for what somebody else puts out. You are responsible for the energy that you put out, and you are responsible also for protecting yourself. And when you protect yourself, whatever energy somebody throws at you, it doesn't even stick. You don't even know about it, right? But of course, I was in my 20s at the time, and I had absolutely no conscious awareness of this information. Because if I did, I would have been gotten away. But unfortunately, my baby girl passed away. That was my opportunity to get away. And I got away from him. And then because I was on a board, there were board members that reached out to me. And the board members are the ones who told me the lies that he was telling. And these were men. The board members were men. You know, and I was like, what? And they was like, yeah. He said, and this guy was an old guy. Like, he wasn't even a young guy. He wasn't even a fine guy. He wasn't even an attractive guy. Like, dude, your son, his grown son, not the little one. He had a little one. His grown son was fine as heck. Now, if this would have came from his grown son mouth, I would have been like, even if it was untrue, I would have been like, oh, he said that? I would have realized, oh, he liked me. Oh, okay. And then, you know, but not this old man. Not this old man. And I'm gonna get back to twin flames, but this is just something I believe is coming out because it's time for me to release it and let it go, because it didn't stop anything, but it did paint a picture of the group. I'm not gonna mention the group, but it painted a picture of the group where I was skeptical about the group, because I realized a lot of things with his behavior, that he's not the only person that behaves like that, number one, within that particular group, that esoteric group, that mystical group. He's not the only person that behaves like that, you know. But then I realized, going through my own pain and grieving and trauma, that people only act the way or behave the way when they haven't healed within themselves. You know, so then I met somebody else, which was my twin flame. And he's also a part of it. But because I knew he was a part of it, even though, and I didn't even have the consciousness of what a twin flame was when we met, I was like skeptical. I was like, okay, I feel this pull, but are you doing this on purpose? Like, are you purposely pulling me? Because that's what it feels like. Because sometimes I don't even be wanting to be pulled. And you just pull me. Like, what the hell? But it was our souls. It was our souls. It was our soul. Let me take the plural out. Our soul that was forming that connection. And I didn't know. So I was skeptical. And I judged, you know, him for being a part of that group. And I judged the people. Because I could see the people clearly being manipulative towards him. Similar situation, you know, just different circumstances. Somebody that was in a hierarchy above him put him in a position, gave him a title, and basically tried to do what that other individual tried to do with me. I gave you a title, so you're going to do what I say. Not realizing, no, thank you for this title, but I'm going to learn about this title. I'm going to learn what this title details, and I am going to still act ethically with this title. And that's what my twin flame is doing. I'm so proud of him. But for a point in time, I was like, get away. Get out of that shit. It's a trap. And then as I got older and I got wiser, I realized, oh, it's not a trap. Because the people that are a part of it, because my twin flame is a huge part of it, they have a connection where they recognize each other, you know? And so because his soul, our soul, is already in contract. Sounds weird, right? Sounds creepy as fuck. I know it sounds creepy as fuck. But contracts are not necessarily bad. So don't think that contracts are bad, you know? They're not. It's just you forming an agreement, a mutual agreement. I agree to do this. You agree to do this. We agree to do this. That's what a contract is. You know, one or more parties making an agreement. That's really all it is, right? Because that is the case, even though I had not at certain times made that decision, I have made the decision now, but because before I made the decision, they would recognize me and I would recognize them and we would stand out at each other and random people speak to me all the fucking time. And most of the time it's because they are a part of our family, you know? And I realized that, and I just had an experience with that with an individual, and I'm just like, dang, is it like, dang, you know? I used to think that the motherfucker was watching me, like, nigga, is you watching me? Because I can feel you. I feel you very strongly through a whole nother fucking soul. Just because y'all, because you made this decision for us initially. Now I made the decision too now because I have to. Because it was already made. It was already made. It was like, yeah, I got here before you, and so this is what we gonna do. This is gonna help us. I know this is what's gonna help us to do our mission. So just, you know, just go with it. And my stubborn behind was like, wait. I interacted with somebody who made the same decision, and they was doing some fucked up shit. I don't know if I want to make this decision. And he was like, all right, you'll figure it out eventually. And I'm like, nah, I'm gonna do it my way. 10 years later. Ah, shit, I should have did this shit 10 years ago. Again, people, I can only speak on my own interaction with my twin flame. But maybe you have a similar situation with your twin flame. Perhaps. You know, your twin flame is, I don't know. I don't know. Perhaps, this is what came to me, so I'm just gonna say it. It's weird as hell, but I'm gonna put it out there because it's not like this group doesn't exist. Perhaps your twin flame is a Ku Klux Klan member, right? And you are born as a liberal, you're born to liberal hippie, still white people, white person, right? And you're born before your twin flame becomes a Ku Klux Klan member, right? And you have already decided that liberal is the way you're gonna live, and you're into nature and herbs, and so that's the type, that's what you have decided for your soul. Your twin flame, which is also the same soul, is like feeling like they ain't supposed to be a part of that group that they were born into. But because they are part of that group, they can speak to these people in ways that other people can't speak to them, because they have access to them in ways that other people don't have access. And so as they get older, they realize, oh, I can actually help liberate these people from the hate that's in their heart. And I can do that by injecting love. Yeah. See how that works? I hope you were able to make that connection. Because I would, again, this is not premeditated. This is coming straight from the soul and straight from the heart. The point is, the decision for the soul was already made by the first person who incarnated. The second person, no matter how they are incarnated, no matter what they are incarnated doing, if the union is going to happen, they have to basically surrender to the decision that was already made by the soul through the first person that was incarnated. There we go. Look at that. You know what? You know what? This spiritual stuff, it ain't always easy. But with practice, baby, it makes life so different. I encourage you, whatever it is, everybody has their own practices, right? But the point is to acknowledge, to give gratitude to the biggest part of yourself, which is your spiritual self. That's bigger than your physical body, right? It can go places that your physical body can't go into, you know? So give homage to that bigger part of you every freaking day, and spend some time meditating, spend some time affirming, spend some time in prayer, spend some time praising, dancing, celebrating. All of that is good for your spirit. Do that on a daily basis. And life, whatever is going on in life, will get clearer for you. And you'll be able to make better decisions in your life. Thank you for tuning in to the Super T Podcast Show. It's Mother's Day weekend, and I might check in tomorrow at 6, you know? But my folks gonna be around with me, so I won't be just me, you know? Thank you, and take care.